T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Rocking and rolling, the fifth round getting a wrap up here. We'll be heading into the sixth and seventh. The Saints have two more selections on the day. Well, let's do a real quick recap of so far the hole for the black and gold. Round one, Taliese Fuaga, offensive tackle from Oregon State, the corner out of Alabama. Kool-Aid McKinstry goes in the second round to the black and gold. Then in round five, we had to wait a while to get three picks, though, today. Quarterback, South Carolina, Spencer Rattler. Then Bub Means, the wide receiver out of Pitt. And linebacker, Jalen Ford out of Texas, going to the black and gold. They've got a sixth-rounder, which is 23rd overall in that round. And then the seventh-rounder is the 19th pick there. We're going to step away, take a break, get to our news, and be back with more of our Draft Fest coverage right here at the Rouse's Market on Power after this on WWL Saints Radio. Back here at the Rouse's Market on Power Boulevard for our WWL Draft Fest coverage brought to you by TrainSouth.com. And you blink, you get into the sixth round, and whew, we missed a bunch of picks already here, guys. Offensive tackle Walter Rouse out of Oklahoma, Minnesota. Pittsburgh getting defensive tackle out of Iowa, Logan Lee. Offensive guard, Utah, Satua Lomia going to Seattle. I'm sorry if I butchered that name. Marcellus Dial, a corner out of South Carolina, going to the Patriots. Troy running back, Kamani Vidal, going to the Chargers. And, hey, Tulane wide receiver, Jaquan Jackson, now off the board, headed to Tennessee.
Yeah, so, you know, Jaquan, he was at home. He played his high school football at Hornville High School. Actually played a little quarterback there for a while, but he was a wideout, great speed, can help you in the return game. He's awfully thin, so he's going to have to physically get a little stronger. But, man, he can run. If he can stay healthy, it's a big part of it. His run-out-to-catch skills are really good. But the fact that, you know, he was an all-around athlete in high school at Hornville, and he played quarterback for, I'm going to say, three-quarters of a season before that was when all the controversy with the transfer of a quarterback from Vanderbilt Catholic. But he filled in, did a really nice job, really good athlete. And I think the rule changes will help, too, with him because of his ability as a return man. But I put him in the slot. I stick you the double middle finger, and I said, you cover it. He can run. I mean, he's got some speed outside. And I don't think a lot of guys will be able to keep up with him. He's gotten better, I think, catching the ball out front with his hands. At one time, he was a little bit of a body snatcher. He kind of let the ball get a little too close. But now you watch him at Tulane the last couple of years. Put his hands out, catch the ball out front, takes one step, and then forget it. He's running right past you.
Yeah, you mentioned that speed, Mike, seeing he averaged 9.7 yards per reception at Tulane.
He can run. I mean, he can run. I don't know what he ran at the combine. It's in the 4.4s, but he's faster than that. You know, because being around a lot of track athletes, day to day they run times different. You know, you can run like a 4.34 one day and a 4.41 the next. You're still fast, yeah, really, but it's the degree
really
of fast.
Right, right.
Things getting a little kooky, guys. After this Giants pick here, UCLA linebacker Darius Muasu, we got the Dolphins ready to pick. Then it's the Philadelphia Eagles. Listen to this. Then it's going to go Falcons, Falcons, Texans, Texans, and then back to the Eagles. Actually, even after that, then it's Arizona. So a lot of birds coming up.
Come on, Howie. Do you want them picks off and break the record? You know, that's the way I look at it.
I figure you will at some point.
You talk about dealing picks. I get, I'd be a loser if I was a betting man because with the Saints with five selections today, I did not expect at all them to make them all, especially with those three fifth-rounders.
I would agree.
Yeah, when they didn't move up, though, you figured, hey, they may go ahead and take all three of them.
Right.
You know, particularly with guys, they say, hey, we like this guy. He could help us on special teams. We like this guy. He could be a spot player for us, or, you know, there's a specific role for some of those guys.
And also, too, when you look at the linebacking position on what a guy can do real well and maybe the weakness part of it, off linebackers today are really difficult because of the way the game is played.
Mike, I've got a question for you. Both of Mike and Mike, I got a question for both of you guys. We know how the Saints have constructed their roster in the past. From what we know now, how do you see that structure, particularly on game day? You know, whether you carry six linemen, seven linemen, eight linemen, typically they've carried eight linemen, offensive linemen. From a tailback standpoint, it's always normally been three backs and a fullback. How do you see them? Tight end-wise, it's always been normally three tight ends, maybe four tight ends, depending on who was up and who was down. And, you know, you throw Taysom in there, and so, okay, you carry four tight ends. You know, Jimmy Graham was the guy that was normally down. Quarterback-wise, you only really have to carry two. Your third, he can be the emergency guy. But how do you see them from a 53-man roster as well as game day roster from what we know now?
Okay, this is one of the things I'll bring up. I think with the new rules, you keep more linebackers.
So, and that was one of the positions that they were light at last year on what they kept as far as not necessarily active.
From a numbers standpoint.
Yeah, and so there was games last year where you only had six linebackers active. I'm looking at the Rams game. Pete Warner, DeMario Davis, Zach Bond. It was Nephi Sue, DeMarco Jackson, Ty Summers. That's it. That's who you had active. Even on the 53, you only had Monty Rice as your other linebacker. So you only had seven on the roster that you had up. They had six of them active.
I do think the rule changed because of how they've changed it on kickoff. So you're going to have more linebackers.
So who loses a position? Is it D-line?
It could well be.
Is it D-line?
It could well be.
Because, like, D-line last year, this is what you had.
It won't be in the secondary. Wow. I can tell you that. That won't change.
Doesn't feel like running back either.
But here's what you did. Here's what you did D-line-wise last year. You had your four starters, which were Carl Granderson, Nathan Shepard, Saunders, Cam Jordan, and then it was Passion. This game here, it was Brian Breezy. P.J. Muster, and Kyle Phillips. So you had eight linemen. You had eight linemen, eight defensive linemen.
I don't know if you go in with eight defensive linemen again. I think that might be somewhere,
right? I mean, that's what you're asking. Somebody's got to give somewhere.
Well, I mean, because you're not getting any extra players.
Right.
So how do you construct the roster?
I think it would have to be there. Or, I mean, they run so much two linebacker set. I would say D-line or linebacker.
Well, I mean, if you're gonna take advantage of it from the special team standpoint, you run a lot of two linebacker sets, but your linebackers are guys that play special teams.
Yeah. Andre Dowell's gonna be back. They didn't have him last year, so he's one you gotta kind of.
Yeah, he'll be back and he'll be fighting for a spot. I mean, but now, you know, maybe that's your seven linebacker that you have active. But I'm just trying to figure out from what we know today,
right?
How do you construct that roster as far as this is who is available of my 53 players? These are the 47 that I have up. Offensive line. I'll give you the offensive line for this game, and this is against the Rams. The offensive line that you had, left tackle was Pete, left guard was Hurst, Eric McCoy, Cesar Ruiz, and Landon Young. Those were your five starters. Then you had other linemen. You had four available: Trevor Penning, Max Garcia, Cam Irvin, Landon Young. So of those, you had nine offensive linemen.
Man, I don't know about cutting that, because linemen get hurt a lot.
But I'm just saying, you had nine offensive linemen. It's normally have been eight.
Eight.
It's normally eight linemen. But I need a guy that can play center, and he can play guard. I need a guy that can play swing tackle, play left and right tackle, and then I need another guy that can be my jumbo tight end.
That was Landon last year, right?
Or yeah, Landon
Trevor, some too. But now this was also a 4-day week too. I don't know if that played into effect at all. Who knows?
Why would that change anything though in that situation?
But maybe if somebody was nicked up and you needed an extra O-line.
My thing is, you got linemen nicked up every week,
right? And by that point, December 21st.
Yeah, that's a long ride.
Yeah.
We just had back-to-back wide receivers going off the board, guys. Virginia's Malik Washington headed to Miami, and then Florida State wideout Johnny Wilson going to them Philadelphia Eagles. They didn't trade out of that pick.
I don't know about Johnny Wilson staying that wide receiver.
He's a tight end.
He's a tight end to me.
I mean, he was a guy that got a lot of buzz about, oh, he's going to be this game-breaker receiver. But the problem is, you know, what routes is he going to run?
Well, the Phillies definitely hoping for this, seeing one of the draft previews saying a team could move him to tight end in hopes that he could have a career arc similar to the one of Darren Waller.
Yeah, I mean, I think Darren Waller is just more explosive than him. I mean, the problem he's going to have is getting in and out of breaks and creating separation.
One thing with Darren Waller, he was a special athlete. That was some off-the-field situations with Darren that sort of muddied the waters a little bit. That's why he was got cut loose by the Ravens. Yeah, there's no way they would have let him go with that type of talent.
He's still, to this day right now, dealing with some stuff off
the
field.
Yes, sure is.
And, you know, it's unfortunate because he's a talented player.
Got a little bird action going on from the Eagles to the Atlanta Falcons. We have a running back off the board, Alabama's Jace McClennon headed to the ATL.
Now, as a backup running back, man, he's instinctive. He's got good eye vision. He's got the ability to kind of one jump cut and bang, he's up the field. So I like him as a backup running back. And you never have enough. Never have enough backs because they get hurt too. They always banged up.
Right.
And he can catch the football decently coming out the backfield.
Man, in Atlanta, they seem to stockpile the running backs over there, huh?
Why wouldn't you? If I had that offensive line, man, and that they're really strong at. The ability to run the football, and that's why can they kind of swing this a little bit and get them some vertical game on a consistent basis with Kirk. I think that's the big question mark. Hopefully, don't wish him no bad luck, but don't wish him good luck either in Atlanta. But Cousins, man, when he gets in a role, like he can go three or four games, man, he'll carve you up. Then he'll have one El Stinko game. And then, you know, then they're going to be hollering Penix out in Atlanta. But, man, their ability to run the football is impressive.
Yeah, so now you got that room already with Bijan and obviously Tyler Allgeier. That's what I said. The Atlanta running back room looking pretty tight. Going to take a break, step away, and be back with more of our Draft Fest coverage that's brought to you by TrainSouth.com. Here at the Rouse's Market on Power Boulevard, you can get some Sauvignon Blanc from Whitehaven, only $16.99, along with some fresh boiled crawfish. That's daily every day of the week. Come check it out. We'll be here to 6 o'clock. Stepping away and be right back with more on WWL Saints Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome back into our Draft Fest coverage here on WWL. Come see us at the Rouse's Market on Power Boulevard. We're going to be here till 6 o'clock. Guys, taking a slight break from the NFL draft coverage. The Pelicans down 60-46 halftime to OKC. We need some Pelly power in this second half of action.
Man, it didn't look good in the first half. Didn't look good at all for them. And,
you want to know why things are not going well? C.J. McCollum, 7 points at the half, and your other star, Brandon Ingram, 5.
Okay, if they're losing in the fourth quarter, we know their numbers.
Right.
0-24.
Right, that's not a good sign.
No, I would say I would bet against that at that particular stage. But, Man, I think, you know, this basketball team playing with no confidence. None.
That's what I mean. If you take that first game, you may have a different series. But, I mean, at this point, not getting that first game and then getting blitzed to Sacklin, and, you know, OKC is just playing with way more confidence. And we got to hit some shots, and we're not hitting shots. And, man, it's rough right now. And hopefully they can kind of reset. I don't know if you can find any, you know, magic by playing some of the other guys that maybe hadn't played as much. But you got to start trying something, because it's you're almost in a desperate phase.
Mike, you ask and ye shall receive. How he's done it. Eagles just completed their ninth trade of this draft, the most of any football team since 1990.
I'm proud of you, Howie. I'm proud of you. I know you work on the phones, baby, and nobody does it like Howie Roseman. Nobody can work them phones and make trades like him.
We got some more news, gentlemen. The home team of the Detroit Lions taking an LSU player, Mekhi Wingo. Congrats, going off the board, 189th overall. The defensive tackle is now a Detroit Lion.
One thing, he fits them. He fits them. When you get on the field with Mekhi,
bite kneecaps?
No, but you better lace up the gloves, because he's going to give you everything he's got.
Body bag punches, and that's exactly how Dan Campbell wants to play. I don't want to call it effort, but it's effort. You've got to have effort to be able to get on the field. And you look at their, Aiden Hutchinson, you know, the former first-rounder from Michigan. I mean, he's talented, but he won't stop. He won't quit.
And that's Mekhi. Okay, now, he lasted this long. He's 6 foot. He's coming off an injury.
Right.
And that's the thing with the draft. Deuce and Mike, we've seen this so many times. Guys have an injury, and how it lingers on, so to speak, and drops them. Kool-Aid McKinstry, if we were to talk in December, ain't no way he's getting into the second round.
Right.
He's a first-round pick. But I didn't rate him as a first-round pick. Reasoning why is because I felt with the injury he would drop, and that's exactly what happened. And these teams, man, they go through this microscopically to look at everything. And with Mekhi coming off the injury, and he's 6 foot tall, all I know is when he gets on the field, he's a bad man. I mean, and he caused some havoc out on the field. Just flip that tape on game one against Florida State. Man, it looked like there was three of them in the first half, until he sort of wore down, and then you saw he looked like he had a hitch in the giddy up after that. But, man, he was some kind of force in the first half against FSU before he sustained an injury. It's too bad he didn't have a full season at LSU. And I'd love to have seen him work with Pete and get into that group along with Jordan Jefferson and Mason to see how it could have worked. But I'm glad he's going to Detroit. I think that's a really good fit for him.
Man, just 8 games a year ago, like you were saying, with the injury. 4.5 sacks, though. And, man, looks like his recovery, at least, has been all right. He ran the second fastest 40 time out of defensive tackles at the combine.
No, you get him on the field, he chases you down. That's the worst part about a 300-pound man that can run like that. From the interior. And you say, well, if I'm an offensive lineman, I get under his pads. How are you going to get under his pads? He's 6 foot tall. You can't get down that low. That's really difficult. He's a really good football player. He lasted a little bit longer than we thought, and I think a lot of it certainly is the kind of double trouble here. He didn't fit the exact profile of a defensive tackle and coming off the injury.
So now the Philadelphia Eagles actually have made a pick, guys. Believe it or not, a guard from NC State, Dylan McMahon, goes to them with the 190th overall selection. Still got a few to go before the Saints are on the clock again. They are at 199 in this round.
One thing with North Carolina State, they produce a lot of offensive linemen. They really have almost one or two a year end up either getting drafted or going to a camp. So whoever's the offensive line coach there is doing a pretty good job recruiting, because every year they have a guy picked or signed as a free agent. And so they're doing a nice job there. Physically, he's got to get stronger as an offensive lineman. He's more of an angle, kind of leverage type guy than that really kind of blow you off the line of scrimmage guy. But he's well experienced as a pass protector.
Seeing too, a little bit of versatility there. 44 games played in college and played all three interior line positions.
Bingo. That helps you.
Yeah,
man, if you can play both guard and center position.
Yeah, that's huge.
Big time.
So the sixth round, so the Falcons have already picked twice in the sixth. They've got We're going to go through an NFC South phase here. The 197th pick is going to be Atlanta. 199 is going to be the Saints, and 200 Carolina. And then the very final pick of the sixth round, Tampa Bay at 220. There are 44 picks in the sixth round, thanks to all the compensatory picks. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
44.
We're going to be having the Saints' newest draft pick, Jalen Ford, coming on us very shortly on WWL Saints Radio. Looking at the picks coming up, we got Arizona, Seattle, and then the New England Patriots. Let's step away real quick from our Draft Fest coverage brought to you by TrainSouth.com at the Rouses Market here on Power Boulevard. Come out and talk some football with Team WWL here till 6 o'clock. We'll be back with more right after this on Saints Radio. Welcome back into WWL's Draft Fest coverage brought to you by TrainSouth.com. One of my favorite parts of this gig is getting to see guys realize their dreams come true. Happy to welcome in new Saints linebacker Jalen Ford to the radio huddle. Man, how's your day going, Jalen?
Man, it's going a lot better now. So, you know, I'm excited. The Saints have blessed me with this opportunity, and I'm beyond grateful. You know, on that call, I talked to the GM, I talked to the coaches, and I was fighting back tears. You know, it's just a real surreal moment. You know, it's just hard to put the words, but, you know, just everything that I've worked for, finally, you know, being accomplished, and, you know, much more to go out there and achieve. But, you know, this is a start, and I'm really excited on my next journey.
Want to let you know about my crew here that's been covering the draft. We got former Saints running back Deuce McAllister, our WWL NFL draft analyst Mike Dettillier, and the voice Mike Koss joining us. Going to hand you over to Deuce.
Well, first of all, I want to tell you congratulations, and then, you know, tell me, which position of the linebacker spot do you feel the most comfortable playing? And, you know, what do you see yourself being able to add to this roster, to this team?
Yeah, so I'll start off, you know, I've been playing Mike ever since I got to college. So I would say that's definitely the one I'm most comfortable with, just because of, you know, how much I've, you know, studied and how much I've, you know, put into that position, and, you know, just working on it. And so I think, you know, Mike is my, you know, my most comfortable position, but with my mindset, my mentality, I feel like I can, you know, play wherever the coaches want me to. Cause you know, I think I learned a lot of football, and I've just become a student of the game, and I feel like I can, you know, go out there and play wherever. So, you know, I'm really excited to just, you know, get a chance to go out there and compete and elevate this linebacker room.
All right, I got one more question. What's your best playing weight? What do you think from a comfort standpoint? What do you like to play at weight-wise?
Yeah, so anything between, you know, 235 to, you know, 240. I played mainly at 235, though, and I think I've done pretty well at it. So I'll just say, you know, 235 is a pretty good weight for me.
Jalen, Mike Dettillier, I remember when you came out of high school, but – I got told a lot about you from your former defensive line coach, Bo Davis. Because Bo was telling me, man, we got a guy here,
Bo.
Mike, you got to watch him.
Man,
he was your guy, man. He sold me on you real quick. And, man, he talked about, he said, can Jalen drop in coverage? And he said he plays the run real well. And he said, man, we think about blitzing him some, too, a little bit more. So your relationship there with Bo Davis, and, man, he spoke praises of you as a player, and also he said as good a player as he's a human being. Man, he's a super dude in life.
Yeah, you know, Coach Bo, man, I love that dude. You know, his I'd say for, you know, Coach Bo was definitely inspiration for me just because of his passion. He's real passionate about the game, and I kind of feel the same way about myself. And so, you know, I would love when he would get the team riled up. You know, unfortunately, he's the D-line coach, so I wasn't around him as much as my boys like, you know, Byron Murphy or Tavondre Sweat and those guys. But, you know, being a linebacker, you work hand-in-hand with the D-line. And so I got to know him, and, you know, we got to work together, and it was just pretty cool just to see how we all bonded together. Man, but, that's, you know, it's not enough words, good words you can say about him and how he develops and helps his guys out. And, you know, I'm just really glad that, you know, he appreciated me for everything I did because I appreciate him. So,
Jalen, one of the things is this year, you know, people had labeled Texas all the all-potential team. They don't get it done. Man, you guys got to the so close to
so
the big
close.
Show
so close. Exactly.
And
so
being
close.
Able to get into that deal. So close.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on the season for Texas, because I think the one area a lot of people didn't think y'all would be as good at is on defense. You knew you could score because you had some firepower, but how well you guys played on the defensive side of the football. And to beat Alabama, you know, in Alabama, man, that's saying a lot.
Yeah. I think kind of what I was just saying, you know, that development, you know, that passion we had on defense and, you know, the guys that we had that were willing to go out there and play and you know, elevate that whole defense. It was a long process. You know, it wasn't just 1 year. It wasn't 2 years. It was, you know, 3-4 years. And so I think, you know, us just putting in that work continuously allowed us to kind of, you know, reap the benefits of, you know, the hard work we put in. And it kind of showed this last year where, you know, we were able to go, you know, we were one of the top defenses in the country. You know, we were able to do things that people didn't think we would. And ultimately, you kind of see it in this draft of, you know, how many guys that we had that were, you know, ballers. And specifically defense, you know, that D-line, you know, no one can mess with them. And then the rest of us, we kind of just, you know, we gelled together, we bonded together, we played good. And it was pretty cool to, you know, just to be a part of that experience and be, you know, a leader, a captain on that defense. Because, you know, those are my brothers for life now. And so there's nothing I wouldn't take. And I'm just really, you know, I'm just glad that I got that experience under my belt of, you know, being on a team and understanding how you got to develop and, you know, work your way up. So, you know, I'm ready for this next phase. So,
Jalen, this is Mike Haas. I do the play-by-play for the Saints Radio. And, you know, so many stats that jump out. And Mike D'Atelier brought up one, and that it would be 6 interceptions. I mean, you talk about baller. You talk about nose for the football. I mean, just talk about that and the ability to, because that's a significant number for your position.
Well, you know, Mike, I swear I could have played tight end, so I got hands, but I would say I just kind of learned from my, you know, my coaches, just they taught us how to, you know, play coverage and kind of helped us understand the scheme of our defense and, you know, what the quarterback liked to see and, you know, depending on what looks, you know, where they would look and kind of stuff like that. So I think just being a sponge and soaking up the info that, and the knowledge that my coach has given me allowed me to go out there and make the plays that we had talked about in the film room. And so, and you know, it's one thing to get there, but, you know, you got to catch the ball. And so, you know, luckily God blessed me with some good hands. So I was able to just make the most of my opportunities. And I will say I dropped a few too. So I could have had more. I still think about those a little bit, but, you know, I will say, you know, coverage is definitely a plus in my game, and I'm looking to, you know, even elevate it even further in the NFL. So I'm excited.
And Jalen, just one quick: I know you were invited. Did you go to the Senior Bowl?
I was invited. I didn't end up going. I battled through an injury, you know, late in the season, and it was just like the game was too soon, and I hadn't fully recovered yet, so I didn't get the chance to go.
No problem. I mean, it was an honor to be invited. I was just going to follow up with a question because Spencer Rattler was there, but I wanted to make sure I knew you were invited. But anyway, great day, man, for you. You know, coming to a great city, you're going to love it.
How much special teams work have you seen, Jalen?
I've seen a lot. I played special teams early on my freshman year. I climbed my way up the ladder and ended up starting on, you know, a couple of special team units as a freshman. And, you know, that was huge because the main thing is, you know, special teams is kind of sometimes special teams is the way that you kind of, you know, add value to yourself. And it allows you to get your other opportunities of getting on the field and, you know, playing your position. So, you know, for me, I understand that, you know, special teams is going to be something that I'm going to have to compete in and, you know, grind and make the team better. And so, you know, I'm willing to do whatever they want me to. I have no problem doing it. So I'm really excited to just, you know, be able to go out there and compete in special teams and in the linebacker room and all that good stuff. So,
Jalen, I know you're a Texas guy born, went to high school there, college there, but you do have some Louisiana family ties.
I do. I got a little bit. You know, I got my dad's side. They're downstairs. They couldn't believe it. But, yeah, so I got a lot of Louisiana family. And, you know, it's not going to be a far trip to go to one of the home games. So I think they're excited about that. I'm not unfamiliar with the NOLA culture either. I was just out there actually, you know, January. We had our playoff game out there, and I had a blast. So I'm just really excited to, you know, be able to embrace it fully. And you know, I can't wait to, you know, have the fans supporting me, cheering me on, you know, cheering the city on. And it's gonna be great. It's gonna be amazing. I can't wait.
What was your pro team? Did you grow up pulling for the Cowboys? If you did, it's okay.
I wasn't a Dallas Cowboys growing up. So, you know, growing up, my favorite player was Adrian Peterson. So I grew up kind of like in the Vikings. I mean, I was probably, you know, the Vikings. I couldn't really get with the Cowboys growing up.
No worries. Well, hey, look, the Saints are paying you now, so that'll be the team that you pull from.
No, that's my team now.
The team on the bottom of the check.
Well, Jalen, on that note, as a new member of the Saints, we ask this of all the new draft picks. Give us a big who dat for the fans.
Who dat, baby? Let's go.
All right.
Well done.
Definitely appreciate the time. Thank you, Jalen. Best
of
luck. We'll be talking to you soon.
All right. Thank you all. Appreciate it.
All right.
Jalen Ford, the newest Saints draft pick, just heard there on WWL Saints Radio. That's brought to you. Welcome to the Big Easy. It's brought to you by Bud Light. Easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Love the personality of Jalen there. He'll fit right in here with the New Orleans crowd. Still waiting on more action from the Black and Gold. We're going to take a brick, step away from it, get right back into our Draft Fest coverage brought to you by TrainSouth.com. Come check us out at the Rouse's Market here on Power Boulevard. Say hey, do a little shopping, and get what you need. Right after this, we'll be back with more on WWL. Welcome back into our Draft Fest coverage brought to you by TrainSouth.com. We're here at the Rouse's Market on Power Boulevard. The Saints on the clock. The pick, we're waiting to find out who the Black and Gold are getting in the sixth round. 199th overall, also known as the Tom Brady selection in the NFL draft. We just talked to Jalen Ford, the newest pick of the Saints. That was a fifth rounder. Now waiting to see where the Black and Gold on this pick. And after the sixth rounder, man, we just got one more left in the seventh.
And then I think we cut a minute off on the seventh round. I think it's 4 minutes, right?
Yeah, they do. It's 5 minutes until the seventh, and then it's 4 minutes.
4 minutes in the seventh.
So no time to think. Know what you got, and then bring it up to the podium.
No, because
they go back. They go back to up north in the Midwest. The Saints do with this pick.
Oh, okay.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know we were doing regions. That's pretty good.
I'm seeing it here, dude. The defensive tackle out of Northern Iowa, Christian Boyd.
Yeah, Christian, very productive interior player. And we talked about them going for an interior guy. Christian Boyd, strong guy at the point of attack, gets good penetration inside. He's lasted longer than I thought he would. But he has been a really productive player at Northern Iowa. Really has.
Do you think it's competition?
Deuce, a lot of times that gets involved with it. But, man, he's a really good technician. He stays low. You can see his leverage skills, his ability to use his arms and hands real well to get off of a block.
Well, Mike, like you said, if he's a technician, that's what you got to be.
In this league?
you better be extremely talented, or you better have the techniques down to a T.
Well, hopefully he can help light a fire under his former college teammate, Trevor Penning.
Well, maybe not even light a fire. I don't think it's lighting a fire with Trevor. It's more about technique. I mean,
you got to learn how to play the game.
Yeah, it's more technique with Trevor. Yeah. It's not, you know, he's motivated to do it. I think having another voice, somebody that he's played with, may help him a little bit. You know, but it's more of technique with Trevor, not necessarily not wanting to do it or
he
not
got a lot of want
it.
To. I mean, he wants to.
He's got a new coach, John Benton.
Well, he wants to go out there and fight. He wants to fight, but being able to go out there and fight the right way has probably part of his problem. That's what it's been.
Bingo.
It's like taking plastic knives and everybody else has spoons. You know, that's what you got. That's what you're dealing with, and your technique is just it's not very good.
Seeing on Boyd, guys, 14 tackles, 2.5 sacks last season.
Yeah, and you look at him, he's not quite 6 foot three. He's 325 pounds. But he ran a sub, I think it's, man, sub 5 flat, 40-yard dash time when they man.
As a big man.
That's a big man moving.
And a lot of weight moving.
That's a lot of weight and super strong in the upper body. That's the one thing you can see by the way he's built. He is really powerful in the upper body, and I want to think I want to say at the combine it was either 37 or 38 reps he did of 225. Now that don't tell you if he can play, but that does tell you how strong he is.
Strong as strong, grown man strong.
And he went to the East-West Shrine Game. That a lot of scouts watched him there. That's even though you know he played big. At Northern Iowa, I think going to the East-West Shrine Game really got him put on the radar pretty good. Teams paid a lot of attention to him, and I really thought he would be more of a fourth-round pick, to be honest with you. That he's lasted this long has surprised me.
I was going to say, 6 foot four, 317, they're listing him as. What are some things you think that the big man's got to work on now that he's heading to the pros?
Oh, just techniques, like anything else. You haven't gone up against line offensive linemen that are this good every week.
Gotcha.
Every once in a while you catch one.
Right.
But not like this every week. But he's a powerful guy, and he can move people off the line of scrimmage. And for a big man in a short area, man, he can run. He can really run.
I mean, one thing that you want as well is the hustle. I mean, if he's willing to finish plays and you know he's already strong, then he gives himself a chance. I mean, that's the other part of it as well. I mean, some guys may say, hey, it's not coming to me, so I'm not going to close. I'm not going to have the backside
shut
pursuit.
It down.
Yeah, I'm not going to have the backside pursuit. But if you're willing to give me a little extra ump and then he can actually close, it makes a difference.
Yeah, a lot of times, too, with I think with defensive interior people, I like to see a guy who's got some length because it helps you get off of blocks a little bit better. He didn't quite fit that mold. He's got a little bit maybe shorter arm length than you would like, but only thing I know is he's a playmaker. He's a playmaker in the middle, but there is a jump in competition. Huh. When you play for Northern Iowa and you make it up the road, there is a jump there.
Looking at some of the draft analysis on him, Mike, seeing big and strong, low center of gravity, doesn't have a great change of direction, skill, or closing burst. He can chase down the quarterback with good effort. And I'm surprised to see here they call him a combine snub. Wasn't invited.
Was not invited to the combine. He did the individual pro day. And that's when he ran that 4.94, and I think he did 38 reps. But he was one of the two or three guys that you thought would get an invitation. But every year it's like that. Every year that there are guys that, you know, and I guess for whatever reason, and, you know, a lot of these guys that pick people to go to the combine, sometimes you wonder why they're doing personnel. They're not paying attention to sometimes a lot of the small college guys.
Carolina picked right after the Saints guys. They end up getting Mississippi State defensive tackle Jaden Crumdy, and then it was the Colts corner getting corner out of Marshall, Micah Abraham, Green Bay now on the clock.
And Zion Logue, if I'm saying his name right, Atlanta took a defensive tackle two picks before the Saints. So.
How many that is? Four defensive tackles? They pick
three DTs and one defensive end.
Yeah.
We're going to step away, be back real quick with more TrainSouth.com, WWL Draft Fest. Be back here on WWL Saints Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.